I'm going to take this poll with me. Okay. Well, how is everyone this morning? Is it a good day to be glad and rejoice in Him? Well, then without further ado, will you please stand with me and just get ready to enter into His beautiful presence. Gosh, what an honor and a privilege it is that we get to do this with each other. So, Jesus, we just thank You for who You are. I thank You for being here with us in a tangible way, God. I thank You that where two or more gather, there You are with us. And I thank You, Father, that with You our burden is light. Yes, and God, I just thank You that Your blood washes away all anxiety, all depression, all stresses, God. I just thank You. I thank You for this morning. I thank You for these beautiful faces, God, these beautiful hearts that are here to worship You. And I just thank You for the miracles that are going to happen today, the shifts that are going to happen, Father, that's just going to set the tone for the rest of the day. And I just declare Your goodness in this, and amen.
put our full focus on the fact that He is our source, and there's nothing else that's going to bring us life like He brings us life. There's nothing else that's going to set us free like He sets us free.
Thank you. Say. Sing that line again. If you have been faithful, think of his goodness to you now.
All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
One more time.
Goodness of God.
Yeah.
And I will sing the goodness of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are good. That you are good. That is your nature. That is your heart. And Lord, we just right now just want to ask for your goodness to touch Dr. Dan Dornick, Lord. Lord, there's been a request for the whole city to pray for him today. Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would bring healing to his body. Lord, as he's struggling for breath, as he's fighting all the things that COVID does to your body, Lord, we just ask right now that you would touch him, Lord, with your heavenly hand. Lord, as he's made you his Lord and his Savior, and he's declared you, Lord, even to us as a church before, Lord, we just ask that you would touch your servant, Lord, with your healing hand. Let your goodness, Lord, your blessing, Lord, rest upon him right now. The health and the life, Lord, that you purchased on the cross for us, Lord, let it be touched to him right now. Let it be imparted to him right now. Let him be able to receive and appropriate right now all the power of the cross in Jesus' name. We pray for anyone else, Lord, part of this family, Lord, that's dealing with diseases and sicknesses, especially of the COVID type, Lord. We just ask right now that you would just allow, Lord, healing to come to their bodies. That you would just eradicate this disease, Lord, from among us. And that life and health would flow in its place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray for the city of Yakima. Lord, we pray that you would just allow your hand, Lord, to be upon this city. Lord, that no matter what the reports have been, no matter what the news has said, no matter what anything looks in the natural, Lord, we believe, Lord, that you are working in this city supernaturally. Lord, that under the currents and under the surface, Lord, in people's hearts, Lord, you're working. Lord, you're drawing people to yourself. Lord, you're helping people realize that they need you, Lord. They need you more than they've ever needed you before, as that song says. Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that eyes would be open. Lord, spiritual eyes and physical eyes in this city. Lord, we ask that ears would be open, physical ears and spiritual ears, Lord. Lord, we ask that hearts would be open, Lord, to receive you. That voices would be loose to say yes to the things of God. Yes to the salvation work of the cross. We just thank you, Lord, that you're working in this city. Lord, that in churches this Sunday, Lord, you're working in hearts, Lord, in lives, Lord. And the messages that are being communicated, Lord, you're allowing your truth to go forth, Lord, and set the captives free. We just thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for our government. Father, we pray for the chaos, Lord, in Afghanistan. We pray, Lord, for other things that are going on that just don't make sense to our natural mind, Lord. We ask that you would just bring wisdom, bring counsel, bring godly understanding, Lord, to individuals. Lord, if people are believing lies right now, we pray that those lies would be exposed, Lord, and that the truth would come and help make those minds and those hearts free. Lord, we look to you for the answers. We look to you for our hope. We look to you as our source, not anything else in this world, not anything else in this physical realm. Lord, we look to you, Lord. We look at the things that are not seen, not the things that are seen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. One more time. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God. Yes. Thank you, team. Great job. Let's thank them for their time and their worshiping the Lord, and we're just joining with them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I've got your mic, don't you? I got to put my mic on. I forgot.
Do you want to do the announcements?
Sure. I'm going to do the announcements. Whoop, whoop. Oh my goodness, isn't that fun? That's our youth. There's more, but yeah, this is announcing youth night on Monday nights at Eric and Nancy's house. They're trying to transition to the church, but in the meantime, they are having fun over at the Lopez's land. So it's on Monday nights, and it's 6:30, goes till about 8:30. And they just have a barrel of fun. They really do. So if you're interested, please see Eric or Nancy on the information for this.
Yeah, and if you know youths that aren't finding a place right now, they will receive
them. Yeah, even if it's, I mean, they don't have to go to church in order to go to youth night. Just any youth that's interested in having a bunch of kids love on each other, and it is just no stress, no mess, and the kids just have so much wonderful input of Jesus into their lives. So, yeah, contact Eric and Nancy. And next, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. is our women's cell night. It's a Zoom meeting. It is not happening this Tuesday night, by the way. I'm going to the beach, people, for the first time, and I don't know how long. I'm so excited.
Too long, right?
And so not this Tuesday night, but on all of the Tuesday nights normally, and this, I promise, will be the last one I take for the summer. But this Tuesday night, we won't have it. But just text me if you're interested, and I will get you the information. On Wednesday nights, my husband's Zoom meeting, and it's wonderful. They have guys from Tri-Cities that don't go to our church that come on every Wednesday night. I mean, it's just crazy. It's so much fun. And they are studying. You're still studying Revelation?
We're just reviewing, yeah.
Reviewing.
We're going over, yeah.
So, yeah.
And then we talk about, you know, things that are going on in people's lives and stuff.
So. Right, right. So
It's pretty open because, you know, we're after really what the Lord wants to do that night. So.
So fun. So fun. Okay. And then the next one is regarding our young adults. Young adults. We're just this is the first meeting for young adults, and that's not me.
It's not?
No.
Oh,
Eric is laughing behind his book. But it's for ages. Do we have even ages? Is there like 18 and up.
Well, up. That works for...
That looks like me.
There's a cap.
Okay.
He says there's a cap. But I don't think they would turn anybody away. But if you are not young and you are not adult, just don't come.
Yeah. To thine own self be true.
To thine own self be true, yes. So this week, on Wednesday, and they're meeting at Meadowbrook. It's mini golf that first night, and so if you have any questions, see Pastor Eric or Pastor Nancy, and they will get you the information. And then tithes and offerings. I don't know why this is my favorite subject, because money is always so uncomfortable for people, but I think the reason I love it is because God let us off the hook. We don't take your money. You give your money. I love that. So the way you give it is, there's this beautiful treasure box that a dear friend of ours made for us. And anytime during worship, even during the service, if you want to come up and truly worship as you give to the Lord, it's in this box, or there's one that's hanging on the back. And it's your act of worship. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that beautiful, the way that the Lord has just freed us as a body to not ask for anything? And God has met our needs so faithfully for how many years now?
A lot of years.
We have been doing this a lot of years, but we do not have ushers coming up and take... I mean, it's not necessary, because it's part of who we are.
Amen.
As a body, as a believer. And it's so exciting. So there's also a way to donate online, PayPal. Just go to this, and it's pretty self-explanatory.
What it says, right?
Mm-hmm. Do what it says, right.
So I know Jesse's going to hate this. There's no title for this message, so I'll let you just use your creative resources or liberties.
There might be one by the end.
You might pick up something somewhere along the way, yeah. But we're going to talk about Habakkuk. Everybody say it with me. Habakkuk.
Habakkuk.
There we go. Habakkuk, some people say. And we look at chapter 3. And normally, when this was on my heart, I was thinking that there was going to be a kind of just a focus on 17 through 19, you know, because those are the main verses that you always think of when you think of Habakkuk 3. But as I was reading through the full chapter, actually I read the full book, it's three chapters, okay, it's like not that big of a deal, but I read it just to familiarize myself with the prophet and what he was communicating. And he's kind of a contemporary, most people believe, of Jeremiah's time. And so this was just before they were going to be invaded by the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they were going to be taken into captivity. And so he's one of these prophets that is communicating that there's trouble coming. And is anybody relating that there's trouble coming? That's what we kind of see in the news. We see,
in
our own lives. Yeah, from loved ones, we hear that there's issues going on. And I love these first, and I just picked a few verses, key verses out of chapter 3 to kind of give you the heart of what Habakkuk's doing in chapter 3. And so, do you want to start reading, hon?
I don't know how to pronounce that one word. I want to say is Singaneth.
I think it's Shigion.
Shigonth. Okay, number one.
Nobody's
a prayer
gonna,
of Habakkuk,
hold it. Yeah,
the prophet, according to that guy. Oh, Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. Oh, Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy.
Verse 3.
God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Does anybody know what Selah means? Selah means pause.
Rest and think about it.
Think about it. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Think about that. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. So can you imagine a time like this where... How glorious, I think of the mountains echoing the glory of God. I just love that. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. 10. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. Selah, now just think about that.
So what is Habakkuk doing here? He's remembering all the mighty works of God. He's saying, you're all powerful. You've done all of this, you know. And does anybody relate when they see everything going on? It's like, Lord, you could stop any of this. You could end it in a moment, and you know, you could bring complete order out of the chaos in Afghanistan. You could bring everybody home safe. All these things that we know he can do. You know, you can heal Dr. Dan's body. You know, all of these things that we believe. And we hope and we trust God for, and that we look to him for. He is our source, right? That's what we communicate. And then after these communications, verse 17, the prophet, and he does say some more, says this: though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And it says to the choir master with string instruments. And I was thinking about this. Just as things have been happening, you know, I talk to different people and, you know, they're like, I don't know what's going on, you know, and you know, some are probably thinking, where's God in all of this? You know, is he silent? I mean, does he not see what's going on? Can he not intervene? And the thing is that last time I checked, none of us here are God, right? None of us, I think, have his full divine plan to the end of time, to the end of the ages here, to when, you know, he is now bringing everything into the word is used consummation. We're fully the sons of God and manifested in all of that. I don't think any of us know that. But we do know his heart. We've seen it demonstrated. We've seen who he is to mankind. He loves us. He showed his love for us on the cross. We know that he is for us and he's not against us. But the thing is, sometimes life looks contrary to that. You know, I go back again, you know, to, you know, because it's what I relate to the most recently is when I was in the hospital and, you know, I didn't think I deserved to be there. I didn't think that, you know, I was believing, you know, the Lord would keep me safe on all of those things. I was trying to stay safe, you know, washing my hands as much as I remembered to, you know, and when I did get it, I didn't think I was going to, you know, get that sick, and I didn't, in my mind, get that sick. And then, you know, I ended up going to the hospital. And the thing is, it's like I never at any point felt like he was letting me down, because he wasn't. I was living life. I was going through trials, which Jesus says, in this life you will suffer what? Trials, tribulations, struggles. I mean, it's not meant to be perfect. And why is it not meant to be perfect?
It's not meant because he doesn't love us. It's meant because we live in an imperfect world. People blame God for struggles and pain and hospitalizations and death even. But he loves us. Bottom line, he loves us. The blame is not on his love or lack thereof. The blame is on that we live in a very imperfect world, and we are subject to that world. It's not a lack of his love for us at
That's
all.
Good. Right.
And even though it's hurt, it's painful to live life sometimes.
And again, he is, you know, he is our source.
Yeah.
I heard an amazing testimony. I think you, Tim, left. Tim sent it to me. It was, is it Robbie Dawkins?
Yeah.
Did you see that video? He was talking to, I think, somebody from Victory Channel. I don't watch the Victory Channel that much, but this was an amazing testimony. He was sharing how individuals are being given dreams in the middle of the night of what time to go to places so that they can get out of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. When there would be no guards guarding a certain border. I mean, he's instructing his people. Mm-hmm. And some of our Christian brothers and sisters are actually choosing to stay behind to witness to the Taliban. Mm-hmm. So there is things that you don't hear in the news of how God is working, how he's taking care of his. And if some have died for their faith during this, then what we have to do is trust that the Lord has them. Mm-hmm. If something happens to us, we have to trust that he has us. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard in, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, just a doomsday person, you know, but I've heard that there's potentially more shortages of things coming. Mm-hmm. You know, where we might have to rely on the Lord to let, as he did with the widow, let things go farther than what they're meant to go. Mm-hmm. Or that we eat a meal and it sustains us like he did the prophet for a long time. Is that possible? Absolutely.
With God, all things are possible.
What if we don't have any food? Mm-hmm. Can he sustain us with no food? Yes, absolutely. Because he is a miracle-working God. Mm-hmm. And bottom line, if he doesn't, and we end up going to be with him, that's not that bad.
And it's not second best.
It's not second best. Okay, I want to go ahead and go to a couple of scriptures here. Job. Not everybody loves the book of Job, but
he gets a bad rap, doesn't he?
Job gets a bad rap? Yeah, he does, yeah. And sometimes God gets a bad rap in the book
through
of Job too. Yeah. So let's go ahead and read that, hon. Job 2:7-10.
So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips.
So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the story of Job, but in the very beginning, in the first chapter, it says that on a given day, the sons of God were coming before God. And The Lord asks, you know, Satan, "Where have you been? What have you been doing?" And he says, "Oh, I've been roaming to and fro on the earth." And he goes, "Have you noticed my servant Job?" He points out Job to Satan. "Oh yeah, I've noticed him. You've got like this hedge of protection around him. There's nothing can happen to him. He's all good. So, you know, he worships you because everything's great. That's what's going on." You know, he's basically telling God that the only reason that Job serves him is because you've blessed him so much. And the Lord says, I'm sure he's thinking that's not the case. I know this man's heart. And so he says, "Okay, well, you can have his stuff. You can have his stuff." Okay? He does say that. And he allows the devil to go after him. And he does. He takes all his flocks, pretty much everything that he owns, including his children. Satan does. Not God, but Satan does. And why am I saying this? I'm saying this because we'll get to a point. He ends up getting to the place where Satan comes back and says, yeah, he hasn't cursed you. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't stopped serving you because I haven't touched his body. And so the Lord says, okay, well, you can touch his body, but you can't kill him. And then this is what we're reading here. He has boils all over his body. He's taking a clay pot and he's scraping the boils. Yeah. He's in severe pain. And he's about to just say, I wish I'd never been born. Born. And so what is happening here? He's going through a trial. He's going through a struggle. And if you read the full book, he gets everything back in the end. He is fully restored.
And then some.
And then some. But his statement here, shall we receive good from God and shall not we not receive evil? Now, God's not delivering the evil. But does he allow things in our life? I think he does. And why does he allow things in our life? Well, it says that the perfecting of our faith, for the perfecting of our faith.
Man that almost died in January.
Listen, without a test, you have no testimony.
Right.
Without a trial, you have no victory to communicate. You've got to go through the trial. And I believe that if we do not have the pressures of life that come in on us, whether it be, you know, through things that, you know, we get into ourselves and then we have to go through the consequences and those pressures come and they help change our heart and change our ways and we see more of God working in our lives than, and we acknowledge him and we end up, you know, becoming closer to him in the process. Or if it's just through the fact that we're in the world. But God is a good God. And if he allows something in us, something to happen to us, it's for our good and it's for the good of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. See, we have gotten so used to having everything perfect here in the United States. And I mean, and you know, I know it's not perfect because we have had a lot of things happen that make us feel like, you know, our country's, you know, as they say, going to hell in a handbasket. You know, it appears that things are unraveling. Compared to the rest of the world, we still got it good, folks. We really do. How many of us went to bed without anything in our stomach last night? Probably not one person, unless you were purposefully not eating yesterday. Very few of us. Very few in the United States. Other places in the world, you know, they're praying for one morsel of food to have before they die. Because starvation is setting in. And I'm not trying to make us feel guilty, but I'm trying to make us realize that you know, it's not about a cushy existence. It's not about, you know, having everything all right in our lives. Because it's in some ways it's cheapening the work of the cross, because the cross is meant to bring us victory. And you can't be brought victory unless you're brought into a place where you need to have a victor work for you. Mm-hmm. You can't be overcomers of something unless you have something to overcome. And overcoming doesn't necessarily mean everything turns out good in the end from the outside. But inside, we can be fully overcomers. See, some didn't realize while Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was an overcomer. I mean, everything in the, you know, demonic realm said we've defeated him. But he was hanging as an overcomer. He was the ultimate example of an overcomer. His sacrifice brought the ultimate liberty and freedom to all of us. So he was hanging on the cross, not as just a broken reed, but also as an overcomer.
There's always going to be short-sightedness in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
There's always going to be people that are short-sighted, that cannot see beyond what's right in front of them. When I went to Bible college... That was a long time ago, Eric. I read a book, and I don't know even know where I got the book from. And it was just a little pamphlet book. It wasn't very big. It was maybe 100, 150 pages. And it was about this young Christian woman that had gone to college at a Bible college like me. And so I was very interested. It was a testimony. It was a true story. And she had been with other college students and had happened to fall downstairs on her back, on her bum, and kind of plop downstairs. And she was fine. She got up from that and she walked away from it. But over the next course of a couple days, she noticed that she started losing feeling in her feet, and then it moved up into her calves, and then moved up to her knees, and then continued on up to the point where she was bedridden. She could not move from the neck down. She had become paralyzed. This was a believer. This was a woman that was at Bible college, like me. We had stairs in our Bible college. I don't know about anybody else, but just thinking about, I could actually accidentally fall downstairs and that could happen. I mean, you know, this was like hitting me. And she was for months under the care of this one woman that was not a Christian, but was a seeker of things, good things. She was very intrigued by this young woman's life, and she was her caregiver. And the young woman was talking to her one day, and she was in prayer with the Lord, and the Lord gave her a particular date. And so the young woman had the caregiver, write the date on a big piece of paper, big cardboard piece of paper, and the date was on there, like really bold. Like she said, write it with Sharpie or, you know, with a big marker so it can't fade, she said. So she's thinking ahead. She's not short-sighted at all. And as the day is drawing closer, and the day is drawing closer, she knows God's going to do something, because God particularly mentioned this date to her. Now, this woman has not been able to go to college. She has not been able to walk to her parents to love on them. They've had to come and lean over her in bed. She's had to have someone else feed her, bathe her, change her diaper as an adult, because she could not get up and even use the restroom. But she was not short-sighted. She kept her eyes on the promise of God of that date. God said, I will bring healing to your body on that date. And it was as if her body was revving up, because she knew that the power of God was going to flow through it. And I am not kidding you guys. The day of the date on that piece of paper, cardboard, her body was rumbling like a car sitting in park, but it was turned on. It was her whole body was rumbling on the bed. Rumbling, rumbling, rumbling. And all of a sudden, the power of God hit her, and her whole body lifted up out of the bed. And she did not walk on the floor. She leaped across the floor into a corner and stood there praising God and dancing before the Lord. I have missed this so much, she said. I have missed this so much, being able to worship my Lord. I have missed this so much. She was not short-sighted. They took a picture of her holding the paper as she's dancing before the Lord, showing the date, confirming the date. She was not short-sighted. Job was not short-sighted. Job knew God won in the end. Even if Job died, he knew God won in the end. Yesterday morning, I woke up to the news that a friend of mine, younger than me, has given her whole life to the Lord. Her and her husband have served in missions their whole married life. Died yesterday morning of COVID. She's younger than I am. She served God on the mission field her whole adult life. How does that look to people that are looking in? She would be the first to say, Denise would be the first to say, my God is good. My God is great. I am not settling for second best. My husband will be fine. My children will be fine because we serve the living God.
Amen.
She is not short-sighted. He, Michael, has got COVID too. He is not short-sighted. He's laying in his bed, mourning the loss of his wife of yesterday morning. And he is saying, my God is good. My God is great. Blessed be the name of my God. What do we have to complain about? As we were worshiping this morning, I was thinking about that young woman, about the book I read. And I thought to myself, that was what she wanted to be, Nancy up here. And Vicky, she wanted to be up here doing what they were doing. But she was laying in her bed for over a year, you guys. Over a year she was paralyzed. And then God healed her. But her heart was, I miss that so much. That's the first thing she did when God healed her. Was gave worship to the Lord because she could finally do it again. With arms lifted high, feet dancing across the floor. And we are standing it at our chair, and we're not moving, and we're not saying, thank you, Jesus, because you have touched my life. You have made it where I can walk into this building and serve with my other brothers and sisters and love you with all my heart. We're standing there. God is saying today, wake up. Don't be short-sighted. This is not about what was. This is not about what is. This is about what will be. And I am the Lord that loves you with everything. I don't need any rhetoric. I don't need any kind of, system or anything. I need your heart bared before me in true worship, in true love. And then I will say, go ahead, enemy. You mess with my beloved. What would the enemy get from me if he messed with me right now? You think about that. God knew what the enemy would get when he said, okay, just don't kill Job. God knew what the enemy was going to get. What would the enemy get if God said yes to me? Would I be as faithful as Job? I know, you guys, I probably wouldn't. Because my heart wants to, but I know me deep in here. I'm still moving toward that, but I know me deep in here. God wants us totally sold out for Him, totally loving people, telling them, if you get COVID, God's with you. Dr. Dan Dornick came and ministered to the men at our church. It's been a few years ago, but he came.
A lot of years ago.
Yeah, and he ministered to the people, the men in our church. So when people get the news that he's in critical condition, two blocks away at Memorial Hospital, and the news is not good. The report of the doctors is not good. But whose report will we believe? Will believers stand together for Dr. Dan? Will they stand together for this guy that gave up a professional football with the Seattle Seahawks, came back to little old Yakima, served as a doctor, served as a pastor, served as a man of God who wanted to speak life into people? And Dr. Dan, you go ahead, you enemy, you go ahead and do that to Dr. Dan. I know his heart. Where is your heart today? And does it need to move? Does it need to grow? Does it need to heal? Does it need to be loved on by Jesus? Only you know the answer to that. We're not in a secure world ever anymore. It's only getting worse and worse as the time is going on. Have you noticed? It's not gotten better. People say, oh, COVID, it looks like it's going away. Oh, boom, slap. Here comes another harder hitting COVID than before. The Delta variant. That is now affecting children. Children weren't affected before very much. Some, but not a lot. Now these kids are all sick. I just was talking to Julie and Rick this morning. Their school has 600 kids in it. It's down to 420 with that many kids out with COVID. It is hitting children, people. Where's your heart? Does it need to move?
Just leave you with one more verse. This is James 1, 2, and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Count it joy. Do we do that? Like you said, do we realize that, wow, this is doing something in me that only this moment can do, this trial can do. This is working something in me that's deep and eternal. Or do we just say, Lord, just take it away. I don't want it. I don't, you know, and or shake our fist at God because we're dealing with it. We need to realize that there's more to this life than just having everything all work out. That there is a blessing in disguise if we'll let it be there. I mean, if we allow our eyes to open up, we can see the blessings in the curses of the enemy. Because God can cause things to happen in us that will change us forever.
Oh,
highest praise today. Lord, we choose not, as I said earlier, to look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. We choose not to look at the circumstances and the situations and the reports and the news and the heaviness, Lord, that sometimes is trying to overwhelm us, Lord. We choose to look at your love, Lord. Your love for us, Lord. Your love for mankind, Lord. The love that you demonstrated on the cross. Lord, we declare you are our source. You're the source of our life. You're the source of our health. You're the source of our peace. You're the source, Lord, of everything that we need, Lord. So, Father, we just ask you right now to bring, Lord, that reality of that truth to our hearts. So that when we and if we go through things, Lord, that don't make sense, we'll realize, Lord, that we can still praise you. We can count it all joy. We choose to make our declarations loud and proud that we are yours. Just thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here, everyone that's listening, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to work in their hearts and their lives. Allow them to see the hand of the Lord in their lives. Allow them to see, Lord, your working power, Lord, that you're working in them, revealed in them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. Have a blessed day. And we will see you soon. Thank you, team.
Mary is in a 30-day kind of prayer set. And there's a 100 missionaries in Afghanistan.